Today, we'll look at one of the answers to the question, why are we here? Why are we here? You know, there are many thoughts of individuals found in the world on how mankind arrived here. But are those ideas truthful that so many are out there, man's ideas? Now, for us to know the truth, we must and shall go to the Book of Truth and read what is written on how we arrived here. So if you turn with me, let's go right to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, where we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we read right here that in the beginning, God, Elohim in Hebrew, desired to create. At this time, there's only two members of the God family, beings. So here they decided to create, as we read, heavens and the earth. So we have this, that they created the heavens and the earth. But now let us read and get more understanding about our Creator, how they created us. But to do that, let's turn over to the book of John now. John chapter 1. And verse 1 through 3. John chapter 1, 1 through 3. John is introducing those of us as readers of his gospel regarding Jesus Christ and God the Father here. So John chapter 1 and beginning verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Greek word here, logos, for word, was with God. So we see then there are two beings at this time, in the very beginning. They've always been there. It's hard to say they were in the beginning because they've always existed. They've always been. So here we read from John, "And he," the Word, logos, "was in the beginning with God," as John brings out. "And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So we hear and understand that they created all things together at this time. And he was there, the one, Jesus Christ, who came down here to earth. So we're here because they decided to create Adam and Eve, and we are their offspring. Adam did not evolve. You know, he was created, and we'll go back and look at those scriptures a little later in Genesis. Let's drop down now to verse 14 here in John. And as John describes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So he describes Christ was the Word. And John was able to touch Christ, talk with Christ. And as he said, the Word became and dwelt among us. And John was able to behold his glory, the glory of begotten of the Father. Our Creator came to this earth, volunteer, to become our Savior. And the Father, the one that we know of as Father now, we know no one has seen the Father. As Christ has said in John 6 and verse 44, John 6, verse 46, John 6, verse 46. "Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father." So that one that we know as Father, no one has seen but Christ, his Son, has seen him. So now, let's take a look at the grandeur of our Creator, the one who created Adam and Eve. Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3. Isaiah is one of those who has, by chance and vision, had a visual of Jesus Christ in his glorified form, as he is today. Starting in verse 1 of Isaiah 6, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So this is where our Creator is today. There, the glory that we owe him. Paul also mentioned this, according to Timothy, back in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 through 3. No, I want verses 13 through 16. 1 Timothy 6, 13 through 16. Paul writing to Timothy, "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius, that you keep his commandments without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed, the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen." So describing Jesus Christ, our Creator, the one we go to and give him thanks for his salvation for us. Isaiah 46 now. Isaiah chapter 46, and we'll read verse 9 through 10. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. Isaiah writes, 46, "Remember the former things of old." This is God talking to Isaiah. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, 'My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.'" So God describing here to Isaiah what he can do. He controls all, declaring the end from the beginning. Prophecy, if he gives it, it will take place. This is who is our Creator. He's the Almighty, the one that can do these things. So now let us turn to the book of Job, beginning in chapter 38. Looking, Job, beginning in chapter 38. We could go through Genesis 1 and 2, but here in beginning in verse 4, Job 38, we find God talking to Job about the creation. We find much more detail here in the book of Job regarding creation. Job 38 and verse 4. God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Or could say, God can say to mankind, "Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you?" Verse 5. "Who determined in measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" You know, the diameter of the earth and the heavens. Who did that? God measured it. He determined the diameter of this earth. Stretched the earth. "To what were its fountains fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The angels, when they saw what God had created, they shouted for joy. This blue orb that's in the galaxies that we're on called Earth. Fantastic. It was God who set it in motion. "Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds in the garment and thick darkness in the swaddling bands? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, 'This far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop'?" God set the shorelines for the oceans, the seas. Creation there. God set them. And then going on, God says, "Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it?" Describing the sun coming up as we see in the morning as the earth rotates. Verse 16, "Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of the death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death?" You know, the different streams and the oceans that we have. God set it in motion. They're the ones like in the Atlantic Ocean that come up from the Gulf of Mexico. God has done that. He does that. He determines it. Or the springs that come up in the ground. It's rather amazing, even on my own property in the last 2 months. I've had a flowing well spring forth. It's a flowing well. I've been going down this two-track with my tractor to the back field for probably 40 years. And about 2 months ago, I got a spring come right up in one of the tracks. It's flowing. It's just bubbling. And I can't figure out. It's laid there all these years. I've even driven on it for 40-some years. And all of a sudden, now I have a flowing well. A spring has sprung up. I can't figure out how or why, because nobody's been doing any drenching or digging around my area. But here this spring, it just bubbles up there. And it doesn't freeze when it's down to 10 above zero either. I mean, it just keeps flowing, going, and going. So God controls what takes place and the blessings we can have. Verse 22, describing snow. "Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war?" So here, describing snow and hail. And as we know, prophecy describing hail in the future when God intervenes on this earth. God has it there. And we can see how God intervenes, dumping snow out in the Rockies this winter in various places. God controls that. It's within his power. How much snow we have, how much sun, the warmth. Verse 29, "From whose womb comes ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives us birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen." Now, once again, we see here God's creation of what is taking place. Verse 32, can you bring out Masroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinance of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? In other words, these may be the heavenly signs that God is talking about, things out there that you see in the heavens, the clouds. Verse 35, can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you where we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Spiritual things, things we cannot measure, but God puts these things in our mind, our Creator, the wisdom. Or as he continuing on here in verse 38, when the dust hardens in clumps and the clogs cling together, can you do this? Verse 39, can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides the food for the raven when his young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? God says, I control these things. I've created these things. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear her young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? So there's so many things here in these few chapters here in Job. And God tells Job, look, can you do these things? These things I can do. I created thee. This is who I am. Then let's notice here as we come down to the end of this conversation that God has had with Job. Job chapter 42 and verse 1 through 5. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. And Job's answer is, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Yes, Job, God a blessing. And what God is, we should know what God is. He's in control of events. Nothing goes beyond what God does not allow and do. He is the one that we look to and created us. Even though, with all this evidence that we find here in Job, there are still those who will not accept our Creator to be worshiped. Notice that over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, 28, or Romans 1, verse 18 through 23. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and Paul writes, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Yes, there are individuals that suppress the truth about their being a creator God. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So they are, as Paul says, without excuse. Professing to be wise, they become fools and have changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The evidence is there that there is a creator. We didn't evolve. There is an evolution or evolution that's taken place. Because I grew up as a farm boy, still live in the farming community. And I would say, if you go out and ask any of the other farmers in the area, do you believe in evolution? I believe every one of them would laugh at you and say, of course not. Because once you've seen the birth of a little goat, a lamb, calf, you know, it is created. This thing is born and knows what to do to stand up and knows where to look for the udder. Now, if it evolved, it never would have got that far. So there is our Creator did that so that those animals know what to do. Yes. A farmer isn't going to agree with you that there's evolution. As you see the handiwork of God right in front of you, as you watch that take place. But as Paul says, there are some who refuse to accept, to acknowledge that there's a creator. But we've been blessed to know that. So now, let's actually take a look at the creation of Adam. So if you turn with me now back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin verse 26 through 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see Adam and Eve were created. This is just one facet of the answer to why we are here. Because it was their desire to create mankind. That's why we're here. And we're created in their image. And they have the potential to be likeness of them. Having that agape love. That potential is there for us to be like them. They want to increase the size of this God family, so to speak. And Adam, he was created differently than the rest of the creation, was he not? You know, in the first 5 days of creation, God would speak and it was done. With the heavens and the seas and the animals. But we notice here that in Genesis chapter 2 now and verse 7, how Adam was created. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The word Lord here is Adonai. It is the Lord in relationship to the earth. Relationship that he has with us. The Lord as a blesser. and God here, Hebrew word, Jehovah, means the most holy name. Most holy name was a creator. And it says, he knelt and formed man of the dust of the ground. In other words, he knelt, took the dust of the ground, formed Adam, laid him out, and then breathed into him the breath of life. You know, maybe some of us have been on a sandy beach and wet the sand up, and we can make different forms. Well, this is what took place. Just took some dust, formed Adam, and then gave him life, breathed into him. Notice also what is breathed into us or given us. Over here in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. Once again, describing the creation here. Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. The spirit of man, which in each and every one of us. God has given us that. Can't be detected. There's no way to detect it physically with some machine saying, oh, this embryo has the spirit of man or doesn't. Fantastic. That he's created us to be in his family, image like him, to have this spirit, to be able to reason and think about our great creator. Let's notice a Psalm of David, Psalm 139 and verse 14. Psalm 139 and verse 14, where David says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Now, with his experiences, David realized anew the marvel to be alive, to be here, part of God's creation. And many of us, those of us who have been healed of various sicknesses, know that God is there. This body that he's given us, especially if you listen to the doctors of how they say certain events take place in the body and then this will heal and come back. It's marvelous how we've been made. For example, you put a cut on your finger, you know, slice it, maybe you got a little blood coming out, and it heals up. Fantastic what God has done for us. So definitely, we did not evolve. We are here because of our Creator. So when we meditate on what God the Father and Jesus Christ have done for us in the physical creation, how is it that we cannot be thankful every day and glorify them every day? You know, every day we should be have a day of joyful thanksgiving for what we see, for what they've done for us, giving us this opportunity, having called us to understand they are there. Being able every morning when you wake up, say, thank you, Father. I'm here. And at the end of the day, to say thank you before we close our eyes for all the things he's given us, the beauty to see a sunrise, sunset, to have the trees, how they work, the spirit of man within us. Just fantastic. We should be very thankful and grateful for all the blessings we have. Thankful for our brothers and sisters that we have in the church that we can call upon. All these blessings that he adores us with. The knowledge of the Sabbath day and his holy day plan. Just thankful. Be grateful. We should be to our great Creator. So today was part one of why we are here. This part one is leading us to be preparing for Passover observance and remembrance of what Christ did for us, our Creator. And then also preparing us for the days of unleavened bread, so that we can look to know why we are here. As I said, this is part one where we've read. It was their intention to create us. That is why we're here. So stay tuned for next time for part two.